Bear Podcast 344.
The jailbait episode. Hey, Vayner, what's up?
What do you mean, jailbait? What do you mean, jailbait?
Oh, he's 18. He's jailbait.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray. Not going to jail for jailbait.
Yeah, no, we're not. Yeah.
I'm too pretty.
So, this is episode 344. And we just finished doing a good interview with our with a listener. And before we go on with the interview, let's do some weekend updates, Ray. So, okay. What's been going on? What's been going on with you, Ray?
Well, I went and watched Skyline on Friday.
Okay, how did you like it?
I liked it. I thought it was a little slow at the beginning, but you know, some movies that way you have to build up to what's going on so you can relate to what the characters are going through. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of cool the way they handled everything, because everything pretty much took place in almost one spot. I mean, not as far as like 1 square foot of space, but like within one building. Everything happened at the same place.
One building, and yeah, it's really low budget, you can tell.
Yeah, so, but the special effects were damn good, I thought.
Yeah, they're pretty good. The effects are good, but the beginning, I really hated the beginning, I should say. But towards the end, it's like the effects are like you said, it's the effects are pretty good, and
I think it's gonna be they left it way open for a sequel.
Way too open,
because it's just like, oh look, watch this ending and you know a sequel's coming.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And okay, some of the things that are happening there are very okay. Just a little spoiler. They had something to do with the brains and being transplanted to creatures.
They're CPUs, man. I'm telling you, they're CPUs.
Humans are becoming CPUs and being implanted into these bodies and stuff like that. So, it's
a
big opening.
Everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this wasn't like, oh, we're gonna get as many as we can, then we're getting out of here. It was like, oh no, we're gonna scavenge around and find everybody. There will be nobody living when we leave this planet.
Mm-hmm. Either they kill him or they possess them or something, or yeah, they take care, get their brains.
Oh, they suck them up their alien vagina.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh God, they did look like it, right? They did like vaginas.
I'm just saying.
That's nasty.
Like a big old alien vagina up in there.
Vagina with legs. That's how they look.
2x4, don't you? So you don't get sucked up in there. Oops. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that didn't work. It broke it.
Uh huh.
So, anyway.
Anyway. Okay. So that's it. That's what happened.
I recommend you guys see it. You know, I wouldn't go to like a $15 show, but you know, afternoon matinee or cheap movie
go
theater.
Go to matinee, keep it cheap. Yep.
Cheap. Yep.
And it's not 3D, so.
Or go to the ghetto theater and go in for like real cheap. Movie. Just to do it, you know, cheer some cell phones.
Is that our new favorite theater now?
I think with the economy and the fact that I never have any money anymore, yeah, that's my new broke ass theater.
Okay.
That Ray can afford to go through.
We're talking about the one in 290 Highway.
Yeah, 290. There's a chain of movie theaters here, and this one happens to be, it's actually an okay area, I think, but it's just kind of a ghetto movie theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, Sinead's in there on the phone talking and texting and eating her jalapenos and doing this and that. And there's 30 million kids running up and down the aisles, you know. But
yeah, it's pretty noisy.
You only paid $6 to get in. So, you know, it's just like,
it's worth it if it's going to be just $6.
Mm-hmm. It's like you paid $6 to the movie and you're sitting in everybody's living room at the same time.
Well, you're the one who got us into it. So, yeah, when did we start going to it last year?
That's all Julio.
It's all Julio. Julio's he's the one who
did this. Because he started taking it. It's only $5, $4. Like if you go to a matinee, it used to be $4.
Yep. Now
so that's why we started. That's why I started going with it. It was like $4 for a matinee? Yeah. And you know what? If that's not good, we'll go to another theater and see whatever else is playing. So, because it's one of the theaters you can do that during the day. You can top theaters. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's Julio. Okay. Oh, I have to thank him for that. But anyway, okay.
Speaking of brains.
Brains. We're talking about brains. Last Sunday, we watched, of course, Walking Dead, of course. But then we were waiting. We were talked about it in the last episode. Walking Dead. I signed up to be a zombie. Did you do it too, Ray?
Yeah, this is twice. I've signed up twice. You know, I'm upping my chances every week.
Yeah, I should have done it last week. But yeah, I signed up. I just don't like, you know, the data mining part. Whenever you sign up for something and they ask for your address and everything, and they'll just, you know, they'll just use your information. But then, on the brighter side, you know, there's a big chance that they'll fly you. That's what's going to happen, right? They're going to fly you to LA or to Hollywood so you could film.
Well, I think they fly you to Atlanta because that's where they're filming.
Well, does it really look like Atlanta?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that is Atlanta.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, I might be wrong, but that's what it looks like to me from what I remember.
Yeah, you should.
I ain't been there, too many times recently.
Don't they usually, you know, show footage of Atlanta, this highway, these buildings? But yeah. Then when you zoom into the scene, it's really just Hollywood.
Yeah, it's all special effects because I ain't gonna shut down 85 is like 10 in Houston.
Yeah. It's gotta be
Atlanta's
very
just
crazy.
As suggested, and people drive just as crazy as they do in
Houston.
Yeah, Houston. Okay, in Atlanta. Trust me, you know.
Okay.
But we have 610. I think they have the 285, which is the loop, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's been a while since I've actually drove through Atlanta. Well, actually, yeah. I did it back in July, but some of the buildings look familiar. So
yeah, we did it back in 2009. Yeah. I was in Atlanta for a while last year. But anyway, okay, so let's move on. Let's do our interview with our friend. Actually, we have a listener, a local listener, and we had to talk to him today. We got to talk to him about his coming
being
out.
Gay.
His being gay. He's just turned 18. Yes. And it's great to have him on the show. He's been he's a listener of the show and been messaging us and everything, and we're glad to have him as a guest, and I hope you guys enjoyed this interview with Luis.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer? Do you work out a lot? Do you come here often? Woof, what a bear.
Hey everyone, this is Nard.
And this is Ray.
And joining us today is Luis. Hello Luis, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. And it's great to have you in the show at last. We've been communicating
finally.
With you. Yes, finally. through Facebook and through emails and through comments and everything. And we've been talking about your experiences. Well, Ray and I have been. And we're glad to have you in the show. And you just turned 18. Happy birthday.
Yeah, yesterday was my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
You're a legal adult now. You can go to jail for a lot of stuff.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come down to that.
Let's hope not. You get caught doing.
Yeah, let's hope not. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
So, Luis, a little background. You've written into the show a couple times.
Yes.
And we read some of your letters on the air.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just feeling the people that are listening in on the background or why we have you on the show.
Okay.
In a previous episode, Lewis emailed us and said that he was, at that time, you were very closeted and mm-hmm. that you found our podcast and you, tell us about finding the podcast. How did you find the podcast? I mean, what it made you go look for a podcast named Bear Podcast?
Let's see. How should I start this? Well, you know that porn star Venice Cub?
Venice Cub. Yes, Venice Cub.
Yeah, I saw an interview of Narn and him, and I decided, okay, let's listen to this. And I saw your podcast around that time, and afterwards I realized that you guys were in Houston, and I was pretty much shocked that you guys were in Houston and you guys were local, so I started listening to your podcast more.
So how long have you been listening to us?
Probably around 2 or 3 years now.
Oh,
wow.
Really? That long? Okay.
Even when you were jailbait, you were listening to us.
Yeah.
Now we're going to jail for some of the stuff we put on the show that he's heard.
Well, actually, we encourage people to be, you know, 18 and above to be listening to. But well, what can we say?
I don't think we talked about anything on our show that wouldn't be talked about in a high school locker room somewhere.
Yeah,
very high school locker room.
Yeah, pretty much. That's right. That's right.
So, Lewis, you're 18. You're a young gay man. Do you identify as a bear?
I like to identify myself as a cub.
As a cub.
He's a cub. He's 18, so he's a cub. Let's go by age.
I don't think age has anything to do with it.
No, it doesn't.
Anymore. That goes out the door. Because I know a lot of 60-year-old boys.
And 45 or 50-year-old cubs. Yes.
So, I mean, well, you know, it's a mindset. So
I just don't fit the stereotypes of a regular gay guy. So the bear community would be the more better fit for me. So. If anything, it's just that bear, I'm more attracted to bears than I am to any other type of guy.
Okay. That's good. So, are you out to your parents?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. My coming out process to my parents was a little bit more hardening. I'm not going to tell how... I'm not really comfortable in saying how I came out to my mom.
Okay.
But I'll tell you how I came out to my dad, because that was afterwards. My dad was taking me home from school, and he had a magazine there, which was a Maxim magazine. You guys heard of it, right?
Yes, we all. It's pretty much in every newsstand that straight men visit. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, my dad was giving me a Max magazine and was telling me it's for me to improve myself and trying to get a girl. And at that time, I just lost it and I couldn't take it anymore. And I had to tell him I'm gay. And it's just like that. When we got home, he immediately started crying and crying and crying. And then he confronted my mom about it. And eventually they decided, you know what, you're not going to be gay. We're gonna fix you up. And I just agreed with it so I wouldn't get into much trouble. So that's my coming out process to my dad. Mm.
Wow. That is that is kind of alarming that your mom and dad would react that way. Usually the moms are more understanding, or the moms are the ones who are...
Yeah, my mom thought it was a phase.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to tell you the truth, it wasn't a phase, because subconsciously I knew since I was 3 that I was gay. Just a matter of accepting it. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's a very common story that I knew when I was a baby, kind of take deal. That I was not, if you knew we were gay, but that you were different from everybody else.
Yes, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. In high school, I felt different. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
When you told them, and they went all this, and they said, well, y'all going to work on some stuff to make you not gay.
Mm-hmm.
Did they go to extremes on certain things?
Well, the only extreme they ever took was they sent me to therapy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then they didn't like hire a hooker to come in and try to take your virginity or send you
my parents are pretty like the strict kind, so they're not going to try to do anything like that. They're pretty like conservative when it comes to religion and all that.
Ray, that's kind of wild.
Well, no, that's happened.
Oh yeah.
I've heard that happening, that kids tell their parents are gay and they're like, they take them somewhere so they can have sex with a woman. Say, here, try it. Just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's happened. I've heard of it happening.
In my opinion, that's just plain stupid.
Well, yeah. But, and then, you know, there's always the cases of people go all religious and send their kids to, like, Exodus or some other conversion therapy or something like that. So, I just, you know.
Well, to de-gay them.
To de-gay them, yeah. So
de-gay.
In my opinion, I don't think that's a very good idea. You're just messing up with kids. You shouldn't force anything on anybody until they're ready. Or if agree with it. The only reason I agreed with it is because it's a way, in the lightest effect, to just leave me alone for a little bit. and just I'll agree with this for now, but later on I'm gonna just, you know, I mean, oh well. And I thought to myself, it might as well benefit me. If I'm gonna get a psychiatrist, I'm not gonna work on my me trying to be straight or anything. I'm just gonna try to work on a little bit of my anger issues, because I have really bad anger issues.
Oh, okay. So you concentrated more on that then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually told the psychiatrist that I didn't want to try to be turned straight, and he agreed with me on that, and we instead worked on my anger. So, and trust me, I'm a lot more mellow than what I used to be.
Yeah. Well, did you think the anger issues might have been coming from the fact that you were hiding that you were gay and having to lie about who and what you were?
I think it did stem from that, but it also stemmed from a lot of different factors, like school and stuff. And if a lot of people keep telling me that I'm very highly stressed, so on different factors, so just, I don't know.
Just wait. It gets worse.
What do you mean? It gets worse.
Enjoy your life now.
I thought it gets better.
Well, it gets better, but then you become an adult and you have a job with people and you have to work with a bunch of assholes and you get stressed out all the time.
Oh, okay.
So, and then you do. Then you have great friends. Then you find great friends to hang with to relieve that stress and do great podcasting and all that kind of stuff to ways to get away from the stress. So.
That's right. Look at Ray and me. So. Okay, you've been watching lots of videos then about the It Gets Better projects, and you see people doing these videos, and how do you take all these?
I think it's an excellent idea. First of all, I don't really understand why people are deciding to commit suicide as a last resort. I mean, as the only resort in that matter. I mean, if you're doing something like that, then all you're being is just a little spoiled little kid who's just whining because they can't get their way. I know that sounds harsh, but that's how I really think of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, suicide, it should never be an option, no matter what. Mm-hmm. There are people there who care about you, and you just gotta see and open your eyes and see it to the world. You can't just decide something so radical. You guys feeling me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in school, do you ever felt uncomfortable or got bullied or anything? Or you were blending in?
During middle school, it was a little bit more harder on me. Because during that time, I was closeted. I was trying to figure out if I was gay or not. It got stressful because some of the kids... Some of the students there started saying that I was gay, and they started, and for some reason I kept getting pissed off at that. So I just didn't take it. And eventually, during some times, it felt like it could be true, and it also felt like they were metaphorically pointing a gun at my head and telling me to just come out of the closet. Mm. And people shouldn't be forced to come out of the closet. You should come out of the closet when they're ready.
Yeah, I agree with that. You should always, if somebody's not out, and you should come to terms to yourself and when to come out. It's pretty much what I did when I came out to my parents, to my mom. I needed to be ready. I wanted to be ready. And what I did was to practice. I practiced with friends. That's what I did. And it was hard at first. Practicing to come out, you know, you sometimes come out to people you don't know, you'll never see again.
And make sure you clarify you're talking about practicing coming out of the closet, not hooking up with.
No, not hooking up, coming out of the closet. Yes, that's right. So yeah, that's I practiced with friends one by one until I did it with a group, and then I became comfortable. Then I became very confident in coming out to my mom, and I was ready . I was ready about things that she might ask or anything. So, in your case, Louis, you came out to your dad first. Wow.
Actually, I came out to my mom first, but I don't really want to divulge into that story because it's a little bit too. It's just
yeah.
Safe to work, uncomfortable.
Yeah, I understand. Understand.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. I hate when I get that way. Since you came to high school, hang on. Let me go back to this question with your parents. Oh, right now, are y'all kind of operating on the don't ask, don't tell policy with each other?
Yeah, pretty much. As far as they know, they think I'm straight. So.
Oh, really? Even though, you know...
Yeah, because I kind of lied to them in order to leave me alone.
Oh, okay. I see. It's
I
like...
I just didn't want the stress right now.
I understand. I understand.
Well, I have always said that anybody that's ever asked me about coming out, and they're very young... I said you have to look at a lot of things. Do you think one, you know, would your parents kick you out of the house? You know, do you think they would go to that extreme? Maybe, maybe not. And I think most people you can tell. When you came out to your mom and your dad, did you ever once think that they'd kick you out of the house and never talk to you again?
The thing about my parents is that I know that deep down they do love me and they do care about me and they will never go into that type of extreme. Because I know my parents still love me, and now that I think about it, I do know that they were just trying to, albeit what they said and what they did was pretty wrong and horrible for me, and should have never been done in the first place, and they should have just accepted it. But in their case, they were just trying to help me out, and they just did what they thought was right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the other things about that is when I'm talking to people, if they ask my opinion about coming out, if you're young, is it one, if you don't think they're going to kick you out, how do you think they will, you know, affect you? If you're going to college, my suggestion is unless you're 100% sure your parents are okay with it, don't tell them.
Really? Okay.
Really? Because unless you can afford to pay for college yourself, then you're screwing yourself. Mm-hmm. So trust me, I booted myself through college for 4 years, and that is a tough ass thing to go to college full time, expensive ass school, go to school, do everything you do, and get out and try to support yourself all that time. Not that I didn't have student loans and aid, and you know my mom helped some, but it was still mostly up to me to provide all that.
And I kind of agree with that. You don't really want to destroy your benefactor now, do you?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, just being practical.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be practical about it. And people might say, oh, that's horrible to think about your parents as, you know, a bank account. But up to a certain point, they are.
Be realistic. Come on, right?
I mean, realistic. I mean, most kids don't move out when they're 18 and completely able to support themselves. Some do it. There are those exceptions. I ain't saying they ain't. But, you know, going to college and getting that college education always makes job prospects a little bit lot better. And then once you get out of school and you're on your own, you got your own place, you're not living under their roof, and they have no financial control over you, I think go for it. It's always been my suggestion.
But you're not ready for that yet, right, Lewis? You're just doing it slowly.
Well, I'm a senior now, so I'm just trying to get all that financial aid and scholarships right now, and trying to go to Baylor. I decided I was going to go to Baylor, but it's still pretty hard to get into that since it's private.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, you definitely don't want to get rid of the parents' funding that going to Baylor.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but while you're away at Baylor, you can do all kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you have to be careful because you remember Baylor does kick out gay students.
They do? Oh my God. I didn't know that.
Isn't it Baylor that in Dallas that kicked out that the student was gay and something happened? That wasn't Baylor?
No. No, wait. The Baylor I'm talking about is in Waco, Texas.
Oh, okay. Different Baylor. Well, we don't know which one. I mean, is it true? It's just a rumor. I guess it is.
No. I
have to look that up.
You have to
Baylor and type in Baylor and gay in Google, and we can look it up later when we're talking about something else or got something else going on. But I'll look at it and I'll go find that. But there's this whole big thing about a student because Baylor Medical School in Dallas.
It is a medical school. Yeah.
Is a Christian school.
And they kick out gay students?
Wow. And they kicked out, and a gay student got dismissed. Hmm.
That's really sad. Well, I don't know. We'll look for the article.
Yeah, we'll look for the article. But, you know, mm-hmm. but pretty much at school, I mean, outside of doing school stuff, you know, I think you're pretty much free to do whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. Now, at Houston Baptist University, it might be a different story, although I know there are some gays that go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid any of those religious schools.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's true. So right now... Yeah,
Roberts University would not be a good place to apply.
So Louis, right now, you're 18 now and everything, are you planning to date anyone? Do you have any love interest right now?
Or have you been dating?
Or have you been dating secretly or what?
Currently, I'm single, so...
Ooh, single in 18. Oh my gosh.
But all I have right now going for me is just crushes. So.
Oh, crushes. Anyway, okay.
The thing about me is that I'm very, very shy. Mm-hmm.
So, well, take your time.
Getting up that courage to be able to talk to somebody.
Uh-huh. That's true.
So are you still a virgin?
Yes, I am still a virgin.
See, they do exist.
They do exist! Oh my god! Save a virgin, do me instead. So, you haven't dated anyone. Wow, okay. Well, who knows, when you reach college, yeah. You'll be pretty much very free, don't you think?
Huh?
You'll be a little bit freer when you're in college, I guess.
Yes, I'll be a lot freer in college, hopefully.
Yeah.
But out of all this, you've been doing some pretty great things.
That's what I've been told.
So, you at your alleged high school that you go to here, allegedly in Houston, you started a gay-straight alliance?
Yes, that's true.
And how is that going?
It's going pretty well. Actually, today we had a meeting because we're going to start doing a toy drive.
A toy drive for Christmas? Wow.
Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do for the toy drive is we're going to try to collect as many toys, new toys, and we're going to give them to kids who are HIV positive.
Oh, okay.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, I should send some of my toys, too.
Those kind of toys aren't for children,
No, I have teddy bears, Ray. Teddy bears. Okay. I have teddy bears, Ray. Okay. Not those kind of toys. Yeah, so do you have some kind of a deadline for... Or...
December 15th. December 15th is the final day we can collect toys.
Okay, all right. So, I can't say anything right now for any locations or anything, but just to give me information how I'm going to send, or maybe some of our listeners may donate toys for your activity, so...
They would probably have to send to us, and then we'd have to take them to Louis.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll be collecting at the school.
Yeah, that would be the best.
Yeah.
So tell us about starting the Gay-Straight Alliance. You know, you hear some schools, they try to start a Gay-Straight Alliance, and the school board says no, or they get some craziness. And was it that hard for you at your school?
Actually, the process was a little bit easier than any other place. My school tends to be... Here's the thing, I don't really hear anything about bullying in my school. And
that is good.
In fact, any type of fighting in my school would be from the freshmen who are just not acting right.
Oh, God, freshmen.
It's always the freshmen. Freshmen.
They're all tards anyhow, so.
Yes. Anyways, I don't really hear anything about bullying at my school, so, or that, or I'm pretty much being oblivious. But anyways, I haven't really heard anything, and it's actually goes okay. So, and we talked with the principal. He talked with the district and everything, and it went okay, and we were able to start the group. The only thing is we're pretty much considered guests at school, so we can't say, we pretty much can't announce ourselves as being part of the school. We're just guests.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Since it's a gay-straight alliance, is there a 50-50 gay or straight, or it's more gay, or they're really straight participants?
here's the thing that I kind of found interesting. There are actually more straight people there than gay people, which I found both interesting and, I don't know, I can't describe it.
It's kind of, wow, that's good to hear.
They just want to be trendy.
Yeah, they want to be They want to be metrosexual. Probably that's why they want to join.
Would y'all set up, have y'all done anything with Hatch here in Houston? Houston area?
Teen Coalition of Homosexuals.
Teens and Homosexuals.
The teacher that we're working with, he has contacted Hatch. we pretty much have kind of like a connection with them. So at the time. So if we need anything from them, we can get help from them and all that good stuff.
Because they do have a big gay prom here in Houston.
Oh yeah, that's
that
right.
Hatch does every year. So, you know, if people don't feel comfortable going to their high school with their same sex date, they do have the.
Yeah, you can join that. It's a prom. It's a GLBT prom, and for those who are, you know, who want to.
Yeah, because that's only what
diversified.
Eight more months away.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to for the prom, it's never too early to plan for prom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
you can.
Prom still on.
By that time, you can bring your boyfriend.
If I get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to get up the courage to actually talk to another male to, you know.
That, no, it's not that. It's just a matter of having good gaydar, because I can't really tell who's gay or not. With.
Gaydar sometimes needs refining.
Yes, you need to get some tips from Ray on honing your gay prowess. Your gaydar. Yeah, great.
Well, it's hard to work with, but not that much.
Pretty much, I'll tell you this. Pretty much, I think. In high school, mine was 95% right, because everybody that I knew that I seriously thought was gay turned out to be gay.
Or you made them gay, probably.
Well, I didn't make them gay. I didn't even have any. I mean, there was the one guy that I had a crush on so bad I couldn't stand it. I mean, he was like the fantasy guy for me. His name was Tracy Trotter.
Oh, my God.
And then there's a couple others that I kind of got the feel that, you know, there was something. And then later on in life, I still haven't got 100% confirmation that Tracy's gay, but talking to some people that he's gay. So, but a couple other people, after I got out of college and moved back home, I ran into them at the gay bar. So I was like, oh, okay, hi.
Hey.
So, you know.
You got to see some of your friends. So right now, do you have gay friends?
Yes, I have. Thanks to the Gay Student Alliance, I've actually found a lot of people who were actually gay, and I made a lot of friends
that way.
I also made a lot of friends in which, because of my newfound courage to actually come out to a lot of people, I've told a lot of people that I was gay, and everyone I talked to has accepted it. They were okay with it the first time I told them.
Yeah. You know, we really have a very bright future with all this the youth, people who are 18 and below and very accepting, and it's just amazing. Just seeing all the participation in the Trevor Project and like yourself, Louis, and your Gay Straight Alliance. The kids right these days are really progressive and very accepting, and there's really a bright future coming up. That's the way I look at it.
It's just amazing to me that at first I was so afraid of how people would react to me being gay, that it just made me even more closeted, and eventually I just had to stop and I had to admit to myself, and I told myself it's okay to be gay. I mean, I may be gay, but that's just another part of me. It's a part of me that I should be proud of. I mean, I like being gay. I like being gay. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I like being gay. It's a part of me, but it doesn't even deteriorate the fact that I'm still me.
Yeah.
There is no... There's a gay list. There's a Jock Lewis, there's a Nerd Lewis, there's a Dork Lewis. It's just, there's Lewis, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see it.
Do you watch Project Runway?
No.
No, okay. Kidding. I just wanted...
His game meter just went from 10.
Minus some princess points.
Do you watch Glee?
Do you watch Glee?
I watch Glee today.
There, you are, all right, game.
Back up to point, ding, ding. 7 points. Your ding, Kinsey ding. Scale is up to 7.
Give some princess points. So right now, actually, it's a Tuesday night that we're recording this, and we just finished watching Glee, actually. And how do you like the episode today?
It was just amazing. The scene and all that, it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially the last one. The singing rain and the umbrella mashup, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the whole gay character line on there with what's his name, and the new boy and the new supposed boyfriend Blaine?
I gotta tell you something. I will reveal one thing. The very first Glee episode that I saw was actually last week's episode.
Oh yes, the bully kissing Kurt.
And even though that was the very first episode. Even if I was new, I was still shocked at what happened that last episode.
I was shocked myself. I had to rewind a couple of times.
That's because you just wanted to be Kurt.
I wanted to be Kurt.
I was rubbing my eyes. Like,
I was screaming myself. Okay, wake up! Ah! You made out with
and
Kurt.
I was giggling like a little girl. And it was just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And I got hooked.
I will say too that on watching Glee, the very gay Nelly side comes out some days.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my neighbors around here would test from hearing me scream in the apartment.
So that's how it happens there when Glee night at the race, huh? Okay, starts screaming. What do you think of that bully guy though? I think it's an exaggeration though. I think we were chatting about this, Lewis, right? That it's an exaggeration of a guy, because if somebody's really closeted like that, I don't think kissing is the first thing they do, right?
Well, no,
yeah,
but he's been...
Kissing would be the first thing they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been harassing him since the first season.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been harassing him since the first season, and... he's scared, and that's usually what bullying's about. It's either about having control over somebody, or you see somebody else that's different and you're scared about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of people get jealous because they see somebody else and they see some of themselves in that person, and it scares them.
Mm-hmm. And they camouflage it with being a bully. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's really sad. But right now, tonight, in this Glee episode, he tried to threaten Kurt again, and that's really sad.
Yeah, but he winked at him in the cafeteria.
I know. Yeah, wait a second. Yeah.
It's very passive aggressive.
Yeah, he winked. Yeah, I remember that. He winked. So, I don't know. Is it like he really likes him? But, well, if somebody kisses someone, he likes the guy. So, I guess he really likes...
Well, I have some gossip that I've read online about the next episode of Glee. They already shot it, and what the probable thing was going to happen, the whole Karsofsky's, the bully, his parents are going to be on the episode. So it's probably going to show something, and they're probably going to reveal some stuff.
Yes, he's going to be outed. Oh my God, it'll be awesome.
So you got to wait until next week's episode to see what's going on that.
And Carol Burnett's going to be on there.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She's a mess. Carol Burnett. Yeah.
And, Lewis, I don't know. Do you even know who Carol Burnett is?
He's not born yet.
I know. He wasn't born yet.
Weren't born yet. Oh, my God. I feel so old already.
Carol Burnett used to run a big variety show, a big comedy show. It was very popular. Uh-huh. Hilarious. I think even if you went and watched some of the episodes today, you'd probably laugh your butt off because it was just slapstick. They were poking fun at stuff.
Yeah, it's just really funny.
It was the In Living Color and what was the other show? The Big Gay Sketch Dramedy of the 70s, early 70s. is when it was on.
It was that long? 1870s?
I've seen the big cave, so.
So, I mean, that's what they did stuff like the Pope Fun It stuff, and it was just hilarious, and they had these characters they always played and everything, so.
Yeah, Carol Burnett. Oh, my God. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it next week. It'd be good to see her in action again. I haven't seen her. It is a long time. It's been a long time. Anyway, well, let me see. It's more than a half hour now. Yeah. So, well, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, Louis, for joining us in the show. You're the youngest. You're the youngest guest we've ever had in the show. So,
ooh, I broke a world record for you guys.
That's right.
You're the youngest ever. Yeah. We've been running for 5 years now.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, he is the youngest.
I was thinking about some of my dates, but yeah, he's the youngest we've had on the show.
Oh, okay. So, anybody out there listening, if you have comments, I'll probably pass it to Louis here, because I don't know if you want to reveal any of your contact information. So, just email us, show@bearpodcast.com, if you have any comments on Louis's story. And also, you can call 206-222-BEAR. Leave a voice message and we'll play it in the show. So we can probably questions for Louis here, and he'll just reply to us next time. Yeah. Okay, so...
And if he survives through graduating, maybe his graduation will auction him off to the highest bidder as their cub for the summer.
That's right. He can run for cub for some bear run, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. Like Bear Watch. Wait, is he legal for Bear Watch? Is he okay to come for Bear Watch?
He can come down to the beach. He can hang out with the bears.
Oh, yeah, you can hang out in the beach, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's,
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that yet? Going to Galveston? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Louis, for joining us, and I hope more power to you and your Gay Straight Alliance, and I hope your parents are, you know, take everything better. Okay. Thank you, Louis. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He heard his mom coming down the hallway.
Oh, really? You think so?
I told you no worries. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, guys, let us know what you thought about Louis. He has written into the show before, you know, and we brought him. And since he's 18 now, he felt safe coming onto the show, and we felt legally safe that he could be on here and talk about his experience and what he's doing. And hopefully it gets better projects, because everything he said was pretty upbeat. As far as, you know, once he came out to his parents, dealing with it and how he's dealing with it and going to school, how it's going there. So, let us know how you feel, or if anybody else is younger or around his age just listening and wants to share their story, let us know. Give us a call or send us an email.
I'm Max Adler from Glee. I just wanted to take a minute to talk to anybody out there in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and even colleges that are being bullied or have ever been bullied. Recently, I've had the opportunity to sit down and talk to a lot of you out there, and it's been a privilege. It's been awesome. But I keep hearing the same scary thing over and over again, and it's that you feel you deserve to be bullied, and that you have it coming to you, and that there's nothing that you can do to stop it or change it, and that nobody's, you know, has your back. I just want to let you know that's absolutely the wrong way of thinking, and it's not true. You do not deserve to be bullied at all. And I'll tell you a little secret, is most bullies are extremely insecure and want to knock you down a peg to feel better about themselves. So being who you are is what's awesome. It's what makes you special, interesting, fun to talk to, desirable. And I mean, I know that right now in school, your school is your entire universe, and fitting into the mold is what matters and it's what's so important. But believe me, it's not the coolest thing in the world to do. That breaking the mold and just being you and being who you are is awesome and really rewarding. And if you don't believe me, if you don't want to take my word for it, that's fine. But please call the Trevor Project or check out itgetsbetter.org. You'll see that there's an entire world out there just full of love, without judgment, without prejudice, without ignorance, that's ready just to talk to you and accept you for exactly who you are. So please check that out and just know that you're not alone in this. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really appreciate it. Take care of yourself, please.
That's nasty, right? Oh my god. You're burping. Yeah, you're, yeah. But it, no, that's in. That's all the way in. Thank you, Ray, for burping on our listeners. Oh my god. That's nasty. Okay, so moving on. Well, before we go, thank you, Lewis, for joining
us.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you for being a long-time listener. Even though we don't encourage anybody under the age of 18 to listen to our show because it is adult-oriented.
It is adult-oriented. That's right.
But if you are, and you want to write us and tell us your story, send us some info.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just email us.
Email us and tell us your coming out story or how it gets better for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a young cub out there lost in the wilderness.
Lost in the wilderness.
Being a big old bear to take care of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oops. I hit my microphone. Okay. So let's go on with our topics here. Okay, Ray. You, last week, you were in
Houston.
Orlando. No, you can't.
No, that's a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but okay. But the topic here is about
Ray, the topic you got is TSA. Ray, were you touched?
Yeah,
I've
were
been
you touched?
By many things, by many people. I might be a little touched in the head, so you need to explain what you're talking about being touched.
Okay, there's this because there's this new catchphrase. You remember the don't taste me, bro. Don't taste me, bro. That there's a big thing on YouTube before because there's this guy who was trying to egg on the intimidate the cops to tase him. This time there's this guy at the TSA who was trying to intimidate the TSA people. So he says here the now don't touch my junk. That's what he was saying. Don't touch my junk. It's in California, just days after a California man told an airport security screener, "Don't touch my junk." That phrase has become an instant pop culture phenomenon and the theme for a new line of merchandise. Yeah, there's just because a guy who was going through security, you know those security things they have, he refused to do the scanner because it's... The new scanner stuff.
That you can see through your clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think he's a real guy because, you know, most men like to show it off.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I've been through that once. I thought it was cool.
Were you touched once?
No. Those scanner things. You stand in the middle and then you don't move and then they spin around some scanner on you and then you see something on the screen and they'll be able to detect what kind of technology you have in your body or whatever metal or whatever objects you have. You've never been scanned that way, right, Ray?
No, I haven't been scanned. But you know, I look at it this way: people can bitch about, oh, they can see this, that, and the other. They're trained people to be there. I'd much rather them see my junk than somebody sneak a damn bomb on that plane or a gun any day.
So you are for it, huh? Okay,
I'm for it. Now, I'm sure saying that there's going to be some TSA agent out there that's going to be a dick, just like there is one in every job, and he's going to find a way to take pictures of people walking through the scanner, and they're going to get posted on the web, and then there's going to be this whole hullabaloo, and he's going to get fired, and it's going to make everybody look bad, and the world's going to end. But because that's usually how it happens when something like that happens, you know, like somebody videotaping women in the dressing room at Macy's or something like that. But,
yeah. But you know, they are keeping those videos, those pictures, those videos, they are keeping it.
Well, Microsoft. Yeah, wasn't it you that was talking the other night about that Microsoft camera thing that you do all the dances?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It takes pictures even when you don't have the video game on.
Yeah.
And sends them back to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother topic. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That stuff's still being sent somewhere, or it's being kept somewhere. I mean, and people think that, oh, you know, I don't want nobody to know what I'm doing. Then you better not get on Google, because all you got to do is get on Google and everybody knows your business. Because all that data stored somewhere in Google.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But right now, well, Microsoft actually with the Kinect. Okay, let's change gears on this one from TSA to Kinect. Okay, the Kinect is that device, this camera that you hook up to your Xbox 360, and you need to have about 8 or 10 feet open space, and you need to have lighting, and so. They, like you said, they're taking pictures of you. They know how you look like, And supposedly it's supposed to be anonymous and everything. They send this demographic data to Microsoft, or it phones home whenever you do something, and they would see if you have a belly. Then they'll show ads for an ice cream.
Where are they showing these ads? That's what I don't understand.
Probably when
on
you
your Xbox.
Yeah, because you can watch Netflix on it, or Hulu, or whatever. Yeah, you can do that whenever you surf on it, because there's also a browser in it. But
we're talking about, there's that movie where they had the chip implanted in them, and they'd walk down the street, and all the ads would be personalized to that person walking by.
But that's the point. That's the target. I mean, they gather data how you look like on the Kinect. If you're dancing around, I don't know how
well,
would they know if
there's
going to
be this whole group of like fetish Kinect people that have sex in front of Kinect. So then,
oh no,
you know, it's going to happen. You know what? There'll be freaks everywhere.
That's right. So. The Kinect, I don't want to get one. I don't know. I've seen people from Facebook who are getting it, who's buying it.
Well, they have them at the mall, and I thought it was very funny. They always have them at the mall, it seems like, and there's always some Asian guy they've hired to play it.
They get an Asian guy. Oh,
I know at the Macy's and the Galleria, it's always a little Asian guy there, and he's out there and they're playing some racing thing, and he's up there doing his thing in front of it, and people walk by, and he introduces them to it and shows them how to play it and stuff and everything, and I'm just like, racial profiling.
That's right. Well, they did say at first.
Now wait, you know what I just thought about?
Yeah.
If they hook this thing up to WoW.
To, oh my God, that'd be crazy.
And you can scan your image in, and you can be doing all the sword fights and all that stuff. Oh my God, Johnny Lee would be gone.
Oh yeah, but that'd be hard though. Well, I don't know. You have to be running around. I guess it's gonna be hard.
Play the video game. I mean, the racing games, you're sitting there running in place and doing stuff and doing jumps and everything to make the stuff on the screen.
That's right. Instead of using the mouse.
So.
Yeah, just move
around. I mean,
around.
It's going to come. I think it's going to take off and going to come, because people kind of get tired. I mean, you know, there's people that's going to be tired to like having their game controllers and stuff. But I mean, you get up and you move around.
Yeah, it's exercise and it's all
actually full interaction with the game, pretty much. So.
Yeah. But then, like you said, you have to sacrifice some freedoms, and because they know how you look like, and they know if you're probably if you're wearing a beard, they'll be advertising just for gays for right. you or something. So,
and then you know, Sexbot for Xbox comes out, and you can hear it now. Oh yeah, pound me harder, pound me harder, Eddie, pound me. You know, so I'm just saying.
Sexbot. Oh my God. Yeah, but anyway, okay. From TSA to scanners to, how did we get here? Oh my God!
It's all about what's kept out there.
Uh huh. That's right. So okay, what do you guys think? Let us know. Show at bearpodcast.com. Tell us what you think of. If you got a Kinect, how do you like it so far? Let us know how it's going for
Connor,
you.
Are you showing your junk on your Kinect?
Oh yeah, that's right, guys. If you have Kinect,
playing naked on Kinect.
And then, oh, that's right.
I think that should be a whole movement. Playing,
see
playing
that if they have sex naked. in front of the Kinect, or
that's and what then, I'm saying. That's and what then, I'm talking about.
Yeah. They'll scan you and everything. They see your junk, and then, oh my God, this guy's hung. So they're gonna advertise Magnum.
Yeah. So when you start log into Netflix and all these inside ads start popping up.
Oh my God, that is so interesting. Yeah, maybe I would get it. Yeah,
Viagra.
You'll see Bob. Hi, I'm Bob. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
I play Xbox, and I really get a wood over that.
So. Uh huh. Now I want to get an Xbox now to be targeted for the sex toys. Okay. Anyway, okay. So let's on with the next topic, Ray.
Fat bear problems.
Fat bear problems.
Fat bear problems.
What is that? What do
Fat
you have?
Fat Bear Problems is a new tweet account.
It's called Oh.
Fat Bear Problems.
Oh, it's a Twitter account?
It's a Twitter account, and you can follow them at Fat Bear Problems on Twitter. And these are some Fat Bear Problems. These are just some of the ones they have listed on here. Snuggling is hard with a CPAP. That's
a Fat Bear Problem. Oh, my God. There is. It's even. Oh.
So, did we meet on Grindr or Scruff? That's the problem the fat bears have.
I'm a grower and not a shower.
Yeah.
Right.
Should I give him my real email address?
greasy food brings out the worst in me.
No, I do not look. I do not like being told I look like a young John Goodman. So you know, if you want to follow Fat Bear Problems and reply and give some of your own Fat Bear Problems, I think that's the whole thing of this. But it looks like it could be kind of funny if you follow.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow it on Twitter. Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm Nard, by the way, on Twitter. What's yours, Ray?
Huberdad.
So,
and I got my Twitter account back off my iPhone, so I can Twitter again. I was all great. Excited. I finally figured out what was going on. So,
oh, did you get your Google Voice yet?
No.
Google Voice, if you guys have Google Voice, it's already available. The official app.
I was waiting for Facebook to come out with their own phone line, you know, just do everything through one spot.
They do that. Maybe not. But Google Voice, it's pretty awesome. I've been using Google Voice for some time now. And some of my voicemails are... That's the phone number I give to people through, because you can redirect it to any phone number you want. But anyway, if you have an iPhone user... which Ray and I are, and we have Google accounts. So if you have a Google account, you can get a Google Voice, and you can actually use the app, the official app that came out today. And it's awesome because
it's pretty clean. Is there a new app to download? That's what you're
telling me. Yeah, it's an app. Yeah, I think you should download it, Ray. and set up your
just say Google me, baby. Google me.
Yeah, Google me. Yeah. Not Facebook.
What's all these XTube videos? What is that? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I meant calling my Google phone number. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's move on. How about your
random acts of culture?
Random acts of culture. Yeah. Okay.
There's a link, and we'll post it on the website. But if y'all haven't seen it, at a Macy's in Philadelphia, the Opera Company of Philadelphia brought in together a bunch of different singing groups to the Macy's there in Philadelphia, which is one of these gorgeous three-story floor stores, and it's all ornate, and it's got this big organ in the center of it. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, all of a sudden, they started playing Handel's Messiah, and they burst into the Hallelujah Chorus. All these people all over Macy's, 600 choristers were sitting there singing it, and it's just, they just started singing when the music started playing. And yeah. All these people are walking around like, oh my God. So it was pretty funny.
It's like improv everywhere. It's like a mob. What is it? A flash mob. A flash mob type.
It's flash mob. So, yeah. But they're calling it 1,000 Random Acts of Culture, mm-hmm. which is sponsored by the Knight Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we'll put the link on there so you can go look at it and you can Google it on, I mean, it's on YouTube, but there's also a link talking about everything and you can watch the thing. So.
I think it's a little scary if you're shopping for clothes and everything and somebody beside you bursts into singing like that.
Well, if it's just one person, it might be a little odd. If like 600 people start doing it, I mean, it's just like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, the whole house might be reverberating if you do that. It's good. We'll put the links on the website so you guys can all watch it. It's pretty good. And where did we get it? You got it from Patrick, I think.
A friend of mine sent it to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put the links on the website. Okay. So, how about... what's the next one, Ray? Okay, profile.
Profile.
Okay. So what's your problem with Facebook profile updates?
Right? I'll never change my relationship status again.
Why?
I don't care if I've been in a relationship for 50 fucking years. I will never update my profile status again.
You're going to keep it single? What?
I'm going to keep it single for the rest of my life because, you know, me and Rafa decided we were just going to be better. We were very close friends and this whole dating thing wasn't going to work for us, but we made real good friends. So I just changed it from in a relationship to single. And I've got 1,000,001. Oh, I'm so sorry. And like it was a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
And I went and posted the other day. I was like, look, this happened a couple weeks ago. I just logged, you know, because I hadn't downloaded the app at that time that you could change it on your iPhone. But I just logged into Facebook that morning. And a couple weeks later, I said, oh, I need to change this and update it. And all day long, I got these, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. Oh, don't be sad. Well, I was like, honey, I didn't change it to I'm suicidal. I just think I'm single.
Yeah,
so but I'll never change it again.
I don't put it. Maybe I should. I mean, I feel like I should put it myself, but I just keep. I keep it blank. So does Mike. I mean, I'm in a very.
Well, I thought at first it'd be kind of cool because you can link the person you're dating or whatever with you, And, you know, if some of your friends come say, oh, that's who he's dating, blah, 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 and stuff. But I'll never do it again.
Oh, you know what?
You'll never know who I'm dating ever again, or if I ever get married, it'll never happen.
But you know what's going on with Facebook? I think they improved on the relationships type, relationship link. What happens is, if you're in a relationship with someone and you broke up, yeah, Facebook knows that you broke up, and it would take away, or it will not render invisible the pictures that you are with him, that is tagged with him by your pictures. So if it's a bad relationship, it's like it knows, if Facebook knows that you're not in a relationship with that person anymore, why should you see his pictures anymore? Still.
So they went and removed all my pictures of Rafael there?
Well, if you linked yourself to be in a relationship with him.
Yeah, we were linked together.
Oh, but you better check your pictures then. If you
see, this is shit about to piss me off at Facebook. I want to change my stuff. I don't want Facebook to do it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm about ready to delete Facebook because I'm kind of pissed off about it. I mean, I enjoy some aspects of it, but other aspects of it is just like, you know, it's really a pain in the ass because I'm really getting tired of Facebook drama to start with.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I treat Facebook as really, a means of communication, but not for drama. I like watching drama, but I don't like causing drama. But I really just use it for communication, really, and connection with listeners also. And that's pretty much it. And I don't make it... how do you say it? I always use it with a grain of salt. It really just be cautious what I say over there because it is public. And I don't take it too seriously. Maybe you're taking it seriously, Ray. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm looking at my albums.
Oh, you're looking at your albums, see if you...
Because I clicked on photos and everybody else's photo popped up except for mine.
Okay, so that happens if you're tagged. If you tagged his picture, your ex's picture... And I think that's
still showing. Still showing. Rafa's picture. Well, it's still showing on my side. I don't know if it's showing, but like the Rafa Hollywood pic that we took in Orlando and stuff is still showing.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I heard. I was listening to Buzz Out Loud about it, and they were talking about.
Or maybe there's something that should give you the option if you don't want to have.
Yeah, picture. I'm sure there's an option. Well, I'm sure there's an option. You go in, you click it, and then it does it for you. So I guess that's smart, right? It doesn't do it automatically. So, yeah, that's Facebook for you. So you're going to stay single for a while, huh? Or you're going to leave it a single?
I'll leave it a single. I ain't ever touching it again.
Why put it there anyway?
Well, you know, when I was filling out the thing, I didn't think anything about it, and I didn't think it was going to aggravate me that much. And then, of course, our friend Peter said, just turn off the notifications.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, whatever. That would require me to go ahead and actually work on this site and figure out how in the hell you cut off notifications. So.
That's Facebook for you. Like I said, I don't like putting too much information on the Facebook. Yeah. On the Facebook. Well, anyway, wow, Ray, we're over an hour now. Yeah,
we've talked about enough bullshit. So.
Okay, so thank
talked
you again.
Talked about the good stuff with Luis. I know we just talked about enough bullshit that, you know, really.
Yeah.
I hope it filled your drive to work some morning.
His friends might be listening to this too, so we have to keep it PG or something. Nah, it's okay.
It's okay.
We're all grown-ups here. Okay, so yeah, thank you again, Luis, for being in the show. And to all you listeners, thank you for joining us. If you have comments, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com. Or you can email us individually, nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com. See?
What are you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing. You can email me at ray... You can email me, ray@bearpodcast.com.
There you go.
You can call us, 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes.
Leave your comments and voicemails, and we'll play them on the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And if you comment on the website. Oh, comments. Oh, my God. We have comments. We have a comment from our friend... Wayne, he commented about the interview with Sinan. Yeah, so Voodoo Iraqi Bear. Episode 342, Halloween, Voodoo Fest, and Iraqi Bear. It's from Wayne. He says, wow, that was really good. This was really cool hearing Sinan's story. Although he sounds a lot like Hakim when he's speaking. Did we have Hakim in the show before? I think we did, right? Didn't we? I can't remember.
I think so.
But anyway, so Sinan...
I don't think we called him Hakim. I don't think we called him his real name.
Oh, okay. Must be something else. But 342, episode 342, we had Sinan. He's actually a gay Iraqi, and we had them...
And he's not Persian.
And he's not Persian. He's Iraqi.
Yeah. Because he will rock your world.
Mm-hmm. Iraqi Amadeus. So, yeah, he's... yeah, this is episode 342. That was true. Okay, so that's so far the comments we have. So subscribe by iTunes and follow us on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Oh, what else?
And happy 6th anniversary to Patrick and Jerry.
Oh, really? It's their anniversary?
Saturday was their 6th anniversary.
Oh, how special. How special.
So.
Okay. All right, so thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.